and praise Him and praise Him for that. And as I said this morning, you know, if I really believe this with all my heart, if there's not some drastic spiritual movement in this country of ours, and we're ripe for it, we really are, then you just might as well listen for that trump to sound. Because He's going to come back. He is going to come back. And it may be real soon. I know you all, most of you probably know my little nephew. He's not little, he's big, but Colin, he comes to church every once in a while. And he's told me several times, he said, "I get up every morning, Uncle, and I look toward the eastern sky, and I think this might be the day when Jesus comes back." Now, he's mentally challenged, of course, as you know, if you know him, but not in that area at all. He is an awesome believer in the Lord, awesome believer. And you wouldn't believe some of the conversations that we have. You know, just because someone's mentally challenged doesn't mean that they are not really sharp in some areas. I'll tell you a real story real quick. Christy sat down with Brenton and Gracie, and they took a little test online. There's 197 countries in this world. And this little test online would show the flag, and then you had to type in the country. So they do this little test and type it in. Brenton got every single one of the 197 countries and spelled every one of them correct in 12 minutes. I couldn't spell probably a third of the countries in this world. I don't even know but a few countries in this world. He got every one of them in 12 minutes, and every one of them was spelled correctly. He beat Christy and Gracie flat out. And not only that, I was telling some of you, if you ask him what language they speak, he'll tell you what language they speak. If you ask him about South Africa, I think there's about 11 languages, he'll rattle every one of them off. Every one of them. That's his thing. He just loves that. Now, you may be around him and think, well, he's not very friendly. He gets bored with us, is what happens. He gets bored. But everyone that is challenged in any way like that, like myself, but I've never found what I'm really good at yet. I'm working on it. And I keep thinking it might be preaching the gospel. One of my granddaughters told me they visited another church with one of their friends the other day and come back. They said, "Pappy, ain't nobody can preach like you," but they're prejudiced, is it? They're just prejudiced. All right, time to quit fooling around and get to the text. Galatians chapter number 6, and I'll read verse number 10. Galatians chapter 6. And verse number 10, listen to what it says. "As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of the faith." Now, he says, therefore. You all know what you're to think when you run across therefore in the text. You're to look and see what it's there for. It's making reference to all that has been said prior to that. And what has been said prior to that is that verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And all of you know that for a long time, I don't really know how long, I just got stuck on something, that we can sow to the Spirit, because the next verse talks about sowing to the Spirit and sowing to the flesh, and we reap what we sow. As I made mention this morning, when Joseph's brethren were confessing what they'd done to their brethren, had no idea that it was him, didn't have no idea that he knew what they were talking about. And they said, this is the reason that this distress has come upon us. They realized that in life, and it happens, I tell you, I couldn't begin to say how many times that I personally have witnessed it in the ministry, someone mess over somebody else out of jealousy or envy or strife or bitterness or whatever to really hurt somebody. And there are people in this world who think, I can make myself look good by making others around me look bad. I'll put them down. Somebody was telling me about something somebody always said. If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing at all. And you know what? There's a whole lot of truth to that. And so there are folks that go through life and they think, you know, I can do that and I won't suffer the consequences for it. That's not true. And as I shared with you a moment ago, God often deals by discipline in the life of the true believer for the way they act. So what we have in this verse tonight is that we're to treat everybody good. Everybody. There are, of course, two categories of people that are mentioned in our text. To all men, regardless of their relationship with the Lord. And then especially, more than just all men, but especially the household of the faith. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you how common this is in the Bible. And so as I do every once in a while, I'll have you turn to several verses of Scripture, and it's good exercise for us to do that. And we'll read several passages, and I think it can point out this reality, what this verse is saying. Now the first one I'd like for you to look at is in the book of Romans in chapter number 12. Now we're going to do 4, 5, or 6. It'll probably take up all the rest of our time tonight as we look at these in the Bible. And this is to show how common this is in the Scriptures. And here in Romans chapter 12, and what we have is starting, I guess, about verse 9, going through the end of the chapter, is practical behavior, just practical, the way we ought to act, way we ought to act in life. And there are places in the Bible to talk about that. Verse 9 says this, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Now notice verse 10, real careful. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring another. Did you ever think that possibly the Bible says that we ought to treat other people better than we would treat ourselves? Well, that's exactly what it's saying. And then I want to call your attention beginning in the 13th verse and going all the way down through the end of the chapter. And you'll notice that this is a strong all down through this passage of Scripture. He says, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, the first thing that I'm going to address is just, if you don't do anything else, just be good to people. Just be good to them. Be good to people. Bless them which persecute you. How many of you would admit this evening that that's not easy? That we run into people that would mistreat us in life and treat us bad. But it says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't ever condescend. Don't ever look down on people like that. You know, if there's anything good about me, it's because the Lord has done it. I always say that. But you know, for some reason, down through the years, I've always tended to do for and pay attention to and help those who are of lower state, in need, or down and out, or whatever. And I remember so well, I'll never forget, probably some of them are listening to the broadcast tonight. I pastored First Baptist Church in St. Charles, Virginia, right in the middle of the Coalfields. And I want to tell you, there was a lot of poor people. I mean, really poor people. They know that, and I know that. And I tell you what, I was blessed so just to be able to minister to those people. I never will forget. I went there, and the leaves were on the trees, and you drive around. Now, I mean, this is St. Charles, Virginia, is right up between two mountains. You have to come back out the same way you went in. And every little road was a coal camp, Bonnie Blue, and on, different names were given. And when you drive up through there, there are those houses that were just alike. They've been built by the coal company, and those people that lived in them originally worked for the coal company. And, you know, you've heard about the company store and all that. Those people know all about that. As a matter of fact, I was back up there not long ago, and they've tore so many of them down, just tore them down. They wasn't really good houses. But I never will forget when the leaves all fell off the trees. I driving along, and I didn't realize on the side of a mountain there'd be a house built on stilts. I mean, you know, just those people were just poor people. If you went to Walmart, you had to drive forever to find a Walmart. There wasn't none there. And I never will forget. This was something I'd never seen before. But on Sunday night, the house would be packed. I've seen men stand up and line along the wall to give seat to the ladies because there wasn't no place to sit. And I remember I thought to myself, that's strange. That's different. Boy, it thrilled me to death to see crowds like that. And on Wednesday night, young people would fall out of them hollers and come to church. It was unreal. And you know, one day I figured out, I know why. They ain't got nowhere else to go. But that's all right. Going to church is a good thing, whether you got something else to do or not. You ought to go to church on Sunday night. You know why I believe about that. But he says, condescend to men of low estate. I remember one time I got a phone call. Preacher, will you visit my grandmother? She's dying. I said, I sure will. You tell me how to get there. And I had a little Volkswagen Beetle, and it was a good thing because it'll climb over rocks and boulders and everything else, you know. And I never will forget that visit. I drove as far as I could go, and I couldn't go no farther. And I walked the rest of the way in, and that little lady had never been away from her home in her entire life. She lived her entire life up in that holler. Isn't that something? And those people, I'll tell you about them. Now, if some of you are tuned in to the broadcast from up in the area, I'll just tell you, if them people was your friend, they's the best friend you ever had. And I'll tell you what, if they didn't like it, just soon shoot you as look at you. And now that's just the way they were. And I tell you, I'd go every morning, walk downtown. They wasn't much of a town, but I'd walk down there to the post office, and many times I've seen blood all over the sidewalk and the hair and everything, you know. And they'd be a bunch of those men get drunk. They'd have the awfulest brawl and awfulest fight that ever was in the world during the night. Now see, there wasn't no police force there. The law was the county sheriff department, and they stayed away from up there. I tell you what, I had a blast. I loved those people. And I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of them, like I said a while ago, if they're your friend, time and distance does not make any difference. They still keep up with me and Sue, and we do them too. And we love them, just love them to death. And I told you all that to say that I had an opportunity to minister to people who might not have much and might. And you know what? I tell you what I'd do. When I'd go to visiting, I'd have on my blue jeans and tennis shoes. I never dressed up to go see them people. I'll tell you a funny story. One time, Buford Combs asked me, he said, "Preacher, would you go with me to visit this person?" I said, "I sure will." And I had a Geo Prism, a little bitty old Chevrolet, just Geo Prism, little tiny thing. It was a Chevrolet, but it had the Toyota drivetrain, was what motor and transmission and everything. And you know how tall and big Buford was? Well, we went, we made that visit, and he grunted and grunted and grunted, and we got back. He said, "Preacher, I don't mean to offend you, but the next time we go visit somebody, we're taking my Lincoln Continental." I said, "No, Buford, we're not going to take your Lincoln Continental. I'll bring Sue's van." She had a Dodge van. He said, "How come you don't want to go in my car?" I said, "I want to tell you something. We live in a poor county, and this preacher's not driving up nobody's driveway in a Lincoln Continental. I like ministering to them. I don't look down on nobody. I'm serious. And I'm not bragging when I say that. I'm telling you the grace of God made me that way. It just made me that way. And I tell you what, and when we get along in this a little ways, I'm going to tell you what a wonderful blessing it has been to me in life. I will tell you about that. Let me read on. Recompense, verse 17, to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What this is talking about is talking about our relationship with the people we come in contact from day to day, or work with, or go to school with, or whatever. He says, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now that's not easy. It's not easy. Because we all run into people, they don't care whether they live peaceably with anybody or not. They just soon stir up trouble as to look at you. You know what I'm saying? And there's just a lot of people in this world that are out for themselves and nobody else. You know my little favorite statement, I say, my four no more. And the world's full of them. World's full of them. And sometimes it's difficult to live peaceably with all men. Verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That goes along with what I said this morning. The point that was made there. Them brothers saying, this is a reason for the distress we're in because of the way we treated our brother. And I want to tell you something. I've seen it over and over. And you say, well, what do I do? Somebody is treating me awful. Somebody's treating me bad. I want to get even with them. No, no. You leave that to the Lord. And I'll tell you what. Guess what? He will take care of that. We're to have compassion toward people who act like that. He goes on in verse 20 and says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. One of these days, I'll tell you what that means. It's neat. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Now, do you see how that goes along with our text? As much as lieth in thee, live peaceably with all men, and do good unto all men. Just do good to them. Do good to them. Let me show you another. In 13th chapter of the book of Romans, in the 13th chapter, no, let me, in 15, verse chapter 15. Page over in your Bible, page over in mine, may not be in yours, but chapter 15, and these verses are leading down to that text that I preached from for so long in verse number 4. Whatsoever things written aforetime written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have what? Hope. Oh, that's an awesome word. But let me share with you the first three verses of that. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Boy, is that something or what? You know what this is doing, folks? This is telling us in a really practical way how we're to live our Christian life. As we relate to others, and all of us do. Every single day we do. Every single day we do. And let me start at the beginning again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not please ourselves. Now I'm going to tell you something about every one of us. We're selfish. I'm sorry to tell you that. But we are. That's our old nature. That's our old nature that we've got to put to death. As Paul said in Colossians, how did he say that? In Colossians, he said, mortify. Now that's the word that was used in that. Mortify. The deeds of the flesh. So that's part of it. So there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. And like I heard somebody say not long ago, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care. Of course, it's old commercials what it was. It was a diet commercial. That's what it was. And this person said, if you don't take care of yourself, how can you take care of anybody else? Well, we need to take care of ourselves, but not be selfish. Going through life seeking just what I want and what I need. Verse 2 says this, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You all know what edification means, don't you? It means to build up, to build up. Now, I had not long ago an opportunity to talk at length with one of my neighbors. I've got a bunch of good neighbors. Boy, I tell you what, Low Gap is a wonderful place to live. I've got good neighbors. Now, are they all saved and follow the Lord? No. But they're good people. There's a lot of good people that's lost. They really are. And I had the opportunity. He shared something with me that bothered him greatly. He didn't say, Brother Thomas, I want you to pray for me. He didn't say that. He just told me the issues he was having. And I said, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You see, to seek, and I hope what I said to him encouraged him. You know, everybody needs encouragement, right? Everybody needs encouragement. And I get a whole lot of it here at Emmanuel. I have people tell me all the time how wonderful I am. I know better, but it's all right for you to tell me that. It won't give me the big head or nothing. I know me because the Lord helps me know me. So we all need encouragement along the way. Every once in a while somebody say, oh, preacher, you preached a good message. I say, I can't take credit for that. God already wrote it down. And it's true. If I ever preach anything that is a blessing to you, it's okay if you tell me that it is. You just go ahead. It won't make me strut around a bit. The Lord keeps me humble. It's like those one time in a church, a deacon was going to lead in prayer, and he said, oh Lord, we pray for our pastor. Keep him poor and humble. You keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Oh, isn't that funny? Well, what about that? What about him saying it? What about him saying it? Well, I know there's a lot of little churches that I think really try that, but it never did work for me. I had a man one time say this, that's all right, we'll take care of the preacher, we'll starve him out. I thought, you big dummy. Lord has always blessed me. Any old time I needed to, I'd fire my old truck up, strap my belt around my waist, put whatever I need in the bed of it, and I could go out here. I never, ever, ever was without work. For 20 years in the ministry, I worked. For 20 years, I worked. Well, a little over 20 years, about the first 6 years or so as Pastor Emmanuel, I did. Greg Rose and I, man, did we ever put the vinyl siding on all over the country. And we worked every day, all winter and everything. I mean, never run out. I've never been at a place where I, as a matter of fact, I've thought about it several times. You know, people will say, want me to do something, and I'll say, well, I just ain't hardly able to do that kind of stuff anymore. And I think, Lord, I ought to be thankful. If I was able, I'd have it to do. But I never did. I tell you what, God was so good to me. God was so good to me. I'll tell you this little story right quick, and then I'll quit. When Greg and Tim were teenagers, I never will forget one day that Greg said, Dad, I need a pair of tennis shoes. And this is the kind I want. Well, they was going to cost $100. And he said, "This, I need some blue jeans, and this is the kind I want." I said, son, when I need tennis shoes, this is what I give for my tennis shoes. When I need blue jeans, I give $8 or $9 for them. Now, if you want those blue jeans, praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you how to get them. I'm going to tell you how to get them tennis shoes too. He said, how? And I said, I'll hire you and I'll work you. I'll give you all the work you want. And I'll pay you good. Because both those boys were really good workers. Both of them were. When you get ready to leave, you ask Tim about carrying shingles up on a roof. You ask him about that. Ask him. I never will forget, I roofed one building and Tim helped me, and it was two stories. And me and him packed every one of them shingles. They weigh 80 pounds a bundle. Up two stories. And he made a remark, but he said, Dad worked me to death. But I told both of them, I said, when you get out of school, you got a job. I'll pay you good. I did, because they was good workers. I'll pay you good. And I'm going to tell you something you might have a hard time believing. There has never been a time when them boys were teenagers that they ever come and said, Dad, can you spot me $10? I got a date tonight. The reason why is they had it. They already had it. And so God's always been good to me. He's always been good to me. And at one time, I was a pretty decent carpenter. And I've done everything. Well, have you built a house? Yes, buddy. Me and Larry Gabbert built his sister's house. And so I've done about all of it, and I thank God that he helped me to do it. But that's what this is saying. For even Christ, listen, verse 3, and I'll close. Please not himself, but as is written, the reproach of them that reproached thee fell on me. He's talking about himself. And that come from Psalms 69:9. Those that reproached you fell on me. So Christ is our example. There's never been another example where somebody has done so much for me. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it that he would die for me. Just die for me. And not just die, but take upon himself. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. If you need that tonight, I invite you to come. We're going to pray, and then Aaron's going to come and lead us in a closing number. Father, we praise you and thank you for what you do for us, what you've done for us and continue to do for us. We thank you that when you died on the cross and was buried and rose again on the third day and ascended back into heaven, that sure wasn't all of it. You ever lived to make intercession for us. You are our great high priest, and we praise you tonight for that. We ask, oh God, you'd bless us now as we sing this closing number. We'll give you the praise for the results in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now would you stand?